Hallelujah.
Esther chapter 2 and verse 7. Esther 2 verse 7. Esther 2 and verse 7. Esther. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. Are we there? And he brought up Hadassah, that is who? Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own what? Look up. I want to share briefly on Mordecai's secret for relevance. God recently began to tell me to study the life of men who were at the background but yet pronounced. And that is why I did a survey and a study on the life of Nehemiah. These were men who were not too announced, as it were, but the impact of what they did was outstanding. If we must study the life of Nehemiah, then it is important that we understand almost the entire story of Esther. If you study from Esther 1, you will discover that the Bible says that the king Ahasuerus, the story begins by him displaying his opulence and his wealth in the palace. That's how the story started. If the story started by the certain king Ahasuerus displaying his wealth, his opulence, his abundance, his plenty in the palace. And if you go down to verse 9, it now displayed, it talked about a king called Vashti. And it said the queen was beautiful. And the king sent the queen out to display her beauty. To display her beauty. The palace was nothing until the queen appeared to display her beauty. The palace was fine, but it was nothing until there was the appearance of a queen. No matter the beauty of this world, if there is no man raised by God to display that beauty, then the beauty is in vain. But we see a story here that Vashti became proud and arrogant. Vashti forgot that what made her a queen was because of the king. When I look at the life of Vashti, I began to see certain stories. If you discover, the Bible says that the king made a feast. Vashti made a feast. The king was celebrating in his own right. Vashti was celebrating in her own right. Doesn't that explain what happens today in ministry? That when God wants to be seen, the same time a man wants to be seen. When God wants to be the one celebrated, a man wants to be the one whose face will be seen. That was the first error of Vashti. The king was being celebrated. Vashti was being celebrated. And let me shock you, when I saw the Vashti story, I discovered something. When Vashti was deposed, there was one statement that was made. King, with the punishment you are giving Vashti, let her no more come into your presence. That was the punishment. Why? Because they knew the importance of appearing before the king. They knew what made her a queen was that she had right to appear before the king at any time. Ladies and gentlemen, if the devil wants to finish a man, he will disconnect you from divine presence. It's a punishment and a curse that you get to a point where you cannot appear before God anymore. Where you cannot appear before the presence anymore. David said, my soul longeth for God. When shall I appear before God? When you get to a point where to pray becomes a struggle. To fast becomes a struggle. To study becomes a struggle. It means you are about to miss and lose out in royalty. It got to that point. It was placed on her. Let her no more appear before the presence. presence of the king. That was why David said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. What was David saying? That pain of my heart is not the pain of any other thing, other than I've lost the presence of God.
Now, watch this. Watch this. In those days, if the king is angry with you, you are put to death on the spot. If you come into the presence of the king without being called for, you are dead. Now, if the king sends for you and you refuse to come, you are dead. But guess what? He said, take her out of your presence. But can I shock you? He said, don't kill her. Let her not die. Let her be alive to see another take her place. No, don't kill her. Because in those days, when you disobey the king, you are put to death. He said, no, but leave this one alive. Let us see another person taking a position. As if that was not enough, the king said, I have removed her. Publish it throughout the whole land. I have removed her. Publish it. I don't want it to be a private disgrace. When a man misses God's presence, his disgrace and rejection is publicized. When a man misses God's presence, his rejection is made public. Publish it throughout the land. Let everyone know that she's no more the queen. Let her shame be made public. When a man loses the touch with God, his shame is open. He may try to cover it. He may think he's trying to hide it. When you miss the anointing, people know. When God leaves you, people know. When it becomes mechanical, people know. There are many of our fathers, and we are praying for them, and God is going to help them, who have got to a point, no more manifestation. All they surround themselves with is the mentality of, I have a son. Sons. But the last time the testimonies they are given are the testimonies of 1986, 1995. Why? When God leaves a man, it is obvious. He said, don't kill Vashti because it is normal. If it was going through the normal order, once you are, the king is angry with you, you are put to death. He said, but this one, let her be alive to see her shame and publish it throughout the land. Let people see it. Let them know she's no more. When God leaves a man, it's obvious. It's obvious. That was why someone could scream, Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel. I pray for you today. That you will not be an evidence of mockery. You will not be a display of mockery. Am I talking to somebody here? You will not be a display of mockery. I'm laying a foundation. When I look at the life of Vashti, take your seat. When I look at the life of Vashti, it makes me afraid. As soon as Vashti was taken out, an order for replacement was announced. If you mess up God, has a backup. If you mess up God, has a backup. As soon, do you know God spoke to me, say he has replacement strategy. And there is something about God. The next man always improves better. Can I shock you? When you get, before Vashti could take that kind of step, she must have looked around and said, who else is as pretty as I am? There are some people who get to a point, they feel, if I'm not around, who can do this? Not knowing that the same person you never thought could be somebody, can be right there under your nose. But it's your departure that brings his empowerment. It's your because the commission cannot go. Now, let me shock you. Never see yourself as the best. Never see yourself as the worst. Can I say that again? Never see yourself as the best. Never see yourself as the worst. See yourself as somebody privileged. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Somebody say it's a privilege. Say it loud and clear, it's a privilege. And when, what was the replacement strategy? If you study the replacement strategy, he said, gather all the virgins. There were virgins in the land. He said, let them be in the custody of Hegel. Hegel. Let them be in the house of Hegel, in the custody of Hegel. They were all virgins, but they have to be in the custody of Hegel. And I went and searched the meaning of Hegel. Hegel means meditation. Hegel means fellowship. In other words, everybody was a virgin, but it was a place of fellowship that one can still be picked out. We all might be Christians. We all might be born again. But what stands you out amongst other normal Christians is your fellowship with God. We are all Christians. We are all virgin. But it's in the house of Hegel that one is picked above one. One is lifted above another, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Wherefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with oil above thy fellows. We are all virgins, but our fellowship is what stands us out. Esther was not the only virgin, but in the house of Hegel, they saw one who was ready to fellowship, who was ready to meditate. Somebody say intimacy. Shout it loud and clear. Shout it loud and clear. Shout it loud and clear. Take your seat. The house of Hegel. They assembled them. They were all assembled in that house. And the Bible says, others were collecting and making demands. He said, but Esther required nothing. God told me to read the GV version. I went there. He said, Esther, listen, while the king gave them access, ask anything, whatever you require, place a demand. He said, all of them demanded for what they wanted, but Esther required nothing from Hagar, save advice. When I saw that in the GV version, save advice. That was all she needed. I don't need physical assistance. I don't need material benefits. I need counsel. In this work, you can't go far without counsel. You can never go far while others are pursuing cars, pursuing counsel. That's why a wise pastor will do everything to be in an event like this. Even if he has to sleep on the road, sleep in his car. Some pastors are actually sleeping in their cars. Why? Counsel. 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 He said, my son, lay hold on wisdom. Let her not go, for she is thy life. Wisdom is thy life. I am here to tell someone, while others are pursuing buildings, and pursuing structures, and pursuing houses, pursue counsel. Pursue the counsel of God. Pursue the word of the Lord. For the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaketh the shadows. Yea, even the cedars of Lebanon. Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. Esther required nothing. The king picked her out. Sit down. Do you know what shocked me? If you read verse 18, the Bible says, and the king made a feast, even Esther's feast. The king made a feast. What destroyed Vashti? She made a feast for herself. Allow the king celebrate you. Don't celebrate yourself. Vashti made her own feast. But because a lady who was not materialistic, she waited. He said, the king made a feast. Ah! Don't tell them to call you mama. Don't tell them to call you papa. When God moves through you and certain things happen, they will be forced to call you mama. They will be forced to call you papa. Do not tell them you are their father. When grace shows up, a son will identify the father. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, why do you think the Bible says call no man your father on earth? Some people don't understand it. That's why they'll say, nobody is my father. No, the Bible says, let no one put you under pressure to be called a father. Fathers have to earn it. Many women are angry
My husband doesn't give me microphone. My husband doesn't give me pulpit. My husband doesn't allow me to come closer. Some are crying. My husband, can't you see? This woman leader is not respecting me. This one does not honor me. This one does not appreciate me. Stop looking for feasts by yourself. Let the king make a feast for you. If the king makes a feast for you, then we have no choice than to fall on their faces. If the king makes you celebrate, then we have no choice but to celebrate you. I am here today to tell someone, the king is about to make a feast for your life. The king is about to make a feast for your ministry. The king is about to make a feast for your family. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a mighty God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. When God says yes, no man can say no. When God lifts you up, no man can bring you down. God is on your side. Power is on your side. Glory is on your side. Favor is on your side. Lift the well shot fire.
Please, sit down. Sit down. When I look at the life, please, follow me. When I look at the life of Mordecai, do you know the first thing that blew my mind? Mordecai was a man who was not, sit down, he was not in a hurry for immediate rewards. Can I tell you how I knew? Number one, he trained Esther. He was Esther's father. And yet he told Esther not to tell them who he was. That means they took Esther without bride price. They took Esther from him without him, as it were, immediately getting the immediate fruit of his labor. He let her go. He let her go. No bride price. I trained this girl when her father died. At least I should be honored. When they made her queen, then she said, who is the man that trained her? Let the man come. He said, I'm ready to let it go. There is a day I need it. There will be a day I need it. A day is coming where what I need will be more than dowry. It will be the preservation of my life. A day is coming that what I need will be more than bride price. It will be the preservation of our own nation. Many of you are pursuing something now, not knowing that what you are pursuing now is making you miss what you get tomorrow. There are monies you eat today, and it prevents bigger money from coming tomorrow. You don't get things by all means. You get things by God's means. There are things you must let go now. Someone might be driving a car now. That may be his own dowry. But there is a preservation benefit. That Jehovah is about to give you. Take your seat. Do you know the second thing I discovered about Mordecai? How I knew he was not pursuing immediate benefit? He was standing at the gate. And now his daughter was queen. If it were in our generation, we would seek a better appointment. Change my position. I've happened to be around several people in power. The bracket of governors, bracket of senators, even bracket of presidents. If you see a president father, you will know. You see a governor's mother, you will know. I saw an elderly lady being ushered into a government house, and with security, I said, who is that woman? They say, governor's mom. I said, is she in government? Why the security? Is she in government? Why are they doing this? I said, this is wrong. Why are they giving us so much? But this man, he refused to seek for a bed. We have a problem in the church. We have this immediate mindset. Many of you are angry at politicians because you felt you prayed for them, they didn't give you money. It was your right to enthrone a righteous man in office. Forget benefits. It's the duty of a Christian to make sure a Christian is in office. Forget benefits. I have a governor in this state. It's my governor. It's like a son to me. We only meet at the airport. 90% of the time. This year, sometimes we see at the airport, say, what have I done? As your excellency, if you, a state governor, is this busy, imagine a man like me who has a ministry in several nations. He says, it's true, you are trying, no, we are just looking at you. You are trying. Put him where he belongs. My security people can tell you there's no time you have seen at the airport. Let him be in the midst of it, thousands of people. He must hold my hand and stop. Because I don't dance around there. Am I communicating?
Now you must have the understanding. When you focus on these people, focus on them for benefits, focus on them for gratification.
When you focus on the immediate, you lose the ultimate. Can I shock you how I knew Mordecai was a man that was not conscious of immediate reward? He had spared the life of the king. When Bigthan and Teresh planned to take the life of the king, he spared the life of the king, and yet they left him at the gate. How many people have you prayed for who forgot you? Don't bother.
Preserving the life of a king and still left as a gate man.
Some of you can, you are even ashamed to tell people that you knew a governor. You are ashamed to tell people you know a senator or a House of Rep member. Why? They will ask you, why is there no reflection in your ministry? Relax. Tell your neighbor, relax.
Tell your neighbor, relax. It doesn't matter who abandons you now. In the next few weeks, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. There was our mouth filled with laughter. The Lord! The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. So it doesn't matter the pain now. God is about to turn it around. I say God is about to turn it around.
Take your seat. Take your seat. The second thing about Mordecai that struck me, Mordecai was a man that knew covenant. He had an understanding. He had a working knowledge of the covenant. He knew what? Your ability to get drunk in God's word is what opens you up for the mysteries of the covenant. Now, can I shock you? Let me tell you reasons why Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. Number one, Haman was the son of Amadetha. Amadetha was a Haggagite. And it was Haggag that took Saul out of power. Haman, remember, that the anger God had against Saul was because Saul spared Haggag. So Haman knew that, Mordecai knew that this was the descendant of a generation that was rejected by God. I come back.
Said, spoke to Mordecai, to Saul. He said, kill Haggag, waste him.
And he said, how can I bow down to a man whose lineage is supposed to have been cut off? He said, somebody made an error by sparing your father. Somebody made an error by allowing your ancestor to live. He said, but me, I'm here to correct it. I will be the one to wipe you out from the face of the earth. I will be the one to eliminate you, exterminate you from the surface of the earth. There are things your father spared. There are things your mother spared that you will not spare. There are things your generation before you spared. They spared them. And that is why it's confronting you now. It might be poverty. It might be premature death. They spared it. But God has raised you up so that you can stand and confront. You can stand and stop what stopped your father and stop what stopped your mother.
So Mordecai was saying to Haman, I am not King Saul. I am not King Saul.
King Saul spared your grandfather. Now it is grandson and grandson. Let's settle the quarrels of our ancestors.
Let's settle the issues that have gone before us. He said, you are an Agagite. I understand that God has been angry.
So when you become angry at what God is angry about, you get his backing.
When God is upset, when God's anger becomes your rot, you get divine backing. When you hate what God hates, you get heaven's attention. God said, wipe off Haggag.
Mordecai knew the covenant. Take your seat 1 minute.
I can't spare.
Who God says I should spoil?
I can't spare.
What I'm supposed to spoil. Second reason, Mordecai refused to bow. Mordecai had a working knowledge of the covenant which says, thou shalt bow down to no other gods. he was a Jew. He knew it's an error to buy. He knew it was against God's command. The first thing he knew, that God had rejected that lineage. He knew he would be an enemy of God. The second thing he knew was that it was against God's command to bow.
So he refused
to bow. He was not the only Jew. Others bowed. Others bowed, but he refused to bow. Others bowed, but he refused to bow. That everybody is doing it doesn't make it right. That it has been existence before you came does not make it right. Longevity is not legality. That a lie has been in an office for a long time doesn't make it the truth. Everybody's doing it this way, everybody's doing it that way, doesn't make it right. Am I communicating? How many ministers can still see money come in millions and millions and still look at the person who brings it and say, hold on, where did you get it from? I do it. One on one, you bring a money for me, I will ask you. Because there are people that don't look like what they are giving. Several years ago, when you pray for somebody in political office, in the bracket of a chief executive, years ago, not this tenure, years ago. And we're leaving. I came with a very funny car then. It was a kind of car that, you can't steal that car, even if I leave the key on the ignition. You can't steal it. Because I know how to turn it to start it. I will give you the key. I understand. The car was a comical car, very, very humorous. The car will laugh before starting. When you turn the ignition, you hear. So even if I give you the key, if anyone has told me, I say, hand over your keys, I will do it gladly. Because I know you will return the key. So I went to see this man who was the chief executive of a state. And I parked the car somewhere. And I went to him after prayers. They brought money. So the pastor went there with me. Said, Papa, the man dropped something. I said, why? He said, we should take bag. Ghana must come. They won't go. Ghana must come. A bag of Ghana must come. And I said, Your Excellency, sir, what is this for? He said, Daddy, a seed. I said, which work did I do? What did I do that you are giving me money? He said, Your Excellency, as I walked in, you would have given me the money before the prayer. If it's a seed, you would have given me before the prayer, not after the prayer. It's like you are paying for prayer. So please, sir, keep it. When I was going, the pastor went with me, frowned. And the only bad thing, I was uncomfortable. He was now seeing me off to my car. That car. While he was going, I got to the door. I said, Your Excellency, okay, stop. He said, no, let me follow you. I said, no, Your Excellency, turn back here. I'm fine. He said, let me follow you. I said, Jesus. This car. He got there. He opened the door. I sat down. He stood and wanted me to drive off. That was the day my car laughed the most. I turned. He said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine, sir. You know, these cars, they are not reliable. I drove away from there. I was angry. Very angry. Now, 2 years after that, I was to come and pray for him again. This time I was excited. Level change. When I drove in the car, I parked it very close to the entrance. I was here 2 years ago and I parked the car far away. This one. And God told me, if you had collected that money, could you have bought this car? I said, no, Lord. He said, allow me pay you. Don't let man pay you. Watch me. Well, now the car I drove there was like his own official car. Now, how I knew was that he had grown-up daughters who were about going out and they were trying to open the door of my car, thinking it was their father's car. Same color, same model, same everything. So I now came out and I said, what are you doing in my car? My car. He said, you thought it's our daddy's car? I said, no. That's your daddy's car over there. This one is my own car. Thank you. Thank you. So this time around, after praying with him, he followed me. He wanted to tumble. I said, no, your excellency, follow me down. Follow me down. He said, okay. He said, you know, I'm presenting something in Abuja, so I'll call you. I said, no, just follow me to the car. You can't leave me halfway. The first time I said, don't follow me. Nah, follow me. But the answer, they say, wow, you just got this one. What spec is this? I said, no, we don't know spec. We just know oil, anointing, and power. We don't know spec. I opened the door. I was driving. I saw people with one corner of the eye. And I said something. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. You know, there is something about diabolic operation. Eh? There's something about diabolic operation. Haman was promoted by the king. And 3 verses later, Haman walked to the king and said to the king, I have 10,000 pieces of silver, 10,000 talents of silver to give you so we can keep a whole nation. The king would have asked you, where did you get it? I just promoted you. In the law of leadership, you understand that you don't display your wealth before your boss. Even if you are a millionaire and your boss gives you 10,000 naira, you still kneel down to take it. This man was breaking the law of leadership, displaying how wealthy he had become before his boss. Just to waste a whole nation. He said 10,000. Mordecai refused to bow. The Bible says that servants around Mordecai began to talk to him every day. Please bow. He said, no, I won't bow. And they acted like they were advising him. Can I shock you? It was those same servants that went to tell Haman. Haman was not even aware there was one man there. It was those same servants. Be careful of those that give you counsels as if they like you. Be careful of those who tell you, are you just going to be doing ministry with fasting? You are going to be doing ministry. There is a place I will take you to. There is a way it can be done. I have been in this ministry before you. Don't let people deceive you. He said in Proverbs 1 verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. I've had all kinds of stories. I confronted a man who is known to be a prophet in this country. I said, I had something that you tell people you take them somewhere. Where is it? I said, minister, I'm older than you. Age, I'm older than you. So I can talk to you. Academically, I'm older than you. Where do you take people to? You tell there's one place they'll take you to. And that's how they are so bastardized. With all due respect to my sons in Ghana. That's how they are so bastardized, Ghana. You say there's one mountain in Takrade. There's one mountain somewhere. Kumasi. Atwa or something like that. If that mountain is what contains prophecy, the mountain will not be existing. People would have plucked the mountain out, uprooted it. Demons are only kept somewhere. Don't let people deceive you. I'd rather die than to go against this world. If I would die poor by following God, let me die poor. If I would die poor, if nobody will come to my church, but so long I'm following God, if I'm going to die without having a car, let me die. But I know the world works. The same people who he thought we are after is good, that we are advising him. We are this. Be careful of who advises you. Be careful of whose counsel you take. Some of those people have been planted by the devil on your destiny journey. Everybody's doing it. What's there? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. I was in UK and I was talking, sitting with the pastor. His phone rang and I had him shouting on the phone. He said, this woman, leave me alone. Let me rest. What's your problem? Please don't disturb me. And he hung up the call. And I said, oh, pastor, what's that? He said, you're not my wife. I said, you just shouted like that on your wife? He said, yes. Okay. I was in his car, so I didn't want him to drop me on the road. So I made sure I got to where I was going. When I got there, I said, pastor, I want to tell you something. He said, what? I said, today, our friendship ends. If you see me coming from that road, pastor, this is the last time you have I'm a popular minister. I said, this is the last time you will ever tell somebody I'm your friend. I don't know you. You don't know me. Because character is contagious. When you move with those who scream at their wives, you won't know when you start screaming at your wife. When you move with those who can lift up their hand and slap, you won't know when unconsciously you develop the same thing. You want to change lifestyle, change association. Naturally. When you are angry around people who see marriage as sacred, you just be shocked that you are loving your wife, loving your husband, you are happy, your home is a model for others to watch. Am I communicating? It is very strange if an Omega Family Ministry, the pastor is beating his wife. You are not from this planet. You are not a pastor. You are under this commission because I have never attempted, crossed my mind or my heart. You with my mouth for almost 8 months, right? Did you ever hear me and my wife's voice? With the way you are, you that like to know everything. This man, if you know him, you know you cannot hide things from Dr. Adebayo. He's very prognosing in nature. He wants to know. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah? So, if maybe we are doing it in a corner, they will now go, he will catch us, this man. It was a flat, so 3 room and 1 sitting room. Am I correct? We are living in a flat then. So it wasn't, I didn't have a building of my own. It was just a flat. How many bedrooms? Was it 3 bedroom or 2 bedroom? 1 guest room. Very small, very precise. We bath him, my wife, we bath the same, we had 1 bathroom. Same bathroom, same kitchen, same toilet, same everything. And yet there was harmony. So it's not because abundance came. It has always been like that. I just tell myself, it's not possible. It's not possible. If there is one question I can ask this my wife that question. I've asked her as I sat down there. I ask her, you must learn to ask your wife and ask your husband every minute, every time. Are you okay? I ask her every time. Are you okay? She says, I'm fine. Are you okay? Are you okay? When you get to God, it's not about getting married, it's staying married, having flavor in marriage. When I see people celebrating the anniversary of marriage, I tell them, don't celebrate. Because your marriage is not celebrated. It's not about the date, it's the harmony in the home. Your husband is talking, you are talking. I'm not a male juvenile, so I'm just saying, you must apply the Bible principle of submit. God knows you'll be a graduate, yet he says submit. God knows you are taller than your husband, yet he says submit. Your father is richer than his father. Submit. It looks ugly. It looks terrible. You are the one that married him. Submit. Am I communicating? Am I communicating here? 10,000. Why? I want to eliminate Mordecai. And I was asking God, I said, why was he so interested in Mordecai? God was showing me certain reasons why Haman was so interested. Number one, do you know Mordecai was at the gate? It was at that gate he got information of how the king was to be killed initially. Satan will do anything to take you out of the gate. He will do anything to stop you from being a watchman. He will do anything. He will pay any amount of money. When you get to a point, things are happening around you without you knowing in advance. Satan is happy. Sickness hit the family, nobody saw it. Attack came your way, nobody saw it. Affliction came, nobody saw it. He said, I've made you a watchman. Satan will do everything to get you out of the gate. Jesus was sold. How many pieces of silver? Eh? Joseph, how many? Joseph, how many? 20. Jesus, 30. Joseph, 20. But somebody was now ready to spend 10,000 to get somebody up the gate. so that Satan wants to have easy access to ministry. Satan will do everything to scatter prayer band in the church. Every other department can go on, but the prayer band department, that those are they are the watchers of the ministry. So that's why I tell every pastor to be a member of his own prayer band. When they are praying, join them. He said, be the president. Join them. Am I communicating?
Satan wants you to get out the gate. He did everything he could to knock off Mordecai, to get him to a point. Some of you are at a point now, you don't pick any signal.
You don't hear from God, you don't hear from Satan. You are just there. You read book, you get message. You pray. In your heart, you believe there is God, though. You obey the rules and the regulation, but you have never had a dossier the Lord, and you are a pastor. A pastor told me, said, Daddy, I'm having a problem. I said, well, he said, I can't speak in tongues. I said, okay. He said, pray for me. I said, I won't. He said, I want me to pray for you. Am I the owner of the Holy Spirit? No man, because baptism of the Holy Spirit is the easiest for you to get. But it has been trained. Creed and dogma, it might have been configured that there is fake tongues, there is real tongues, there is fake spirits. Test every spirit. Those gospel of fear that they give to people where witchcraft is in operation. Let me shock you. You have to be careful. I said, tell politicians things. They will investigate it. Am I talking to somebody? But tell the church anything, they will believe it. Gullible. A lady came the other time and was confessing how she died and went to hell and saw some pastors. God gave her messages, calling names of people. She called my name too. I was so happy that at least at my small level, I'm still recognized. They call generals and they call me. I say, hey. And guess what? That period, many of you looking at me now, they swept you off your feet. They took off your earring. I have nothing. If God speaks to you personally, personal work with God, not to do certain things, don't do it. But don't condemn those who do it. Don't condemn those who don't do what you do. They said all kinds of things, all kinds. And I went back to the Lord. The first time I came, I said, I wish I were in church. I said nothing. But I was preaching in Côte d'Ivoire. And the Lord said to me, you are quiet. A marine agent has been released to the church and you are quiet. He said, get back and raise up your voice. When I came back, I started firing. She has married somebody in Gwagwalada now. She's in Gwagwalada married. Linda. That's what they call her. She's married in Gwagwalada after collecting all your money from Kisset. Where is Fear Not? Apostle Fear Not. Am I correct? She's married there in Gwagwalada. Some of you know. But it shook you. You were crying. I saw hell. And you were weeping. Emotional Christianity. Many are going to die this year. They will die and they will come back and confess. Because tape must sell. They must make money. Many will tell you they saw one man. They know how to work on your emotion. Wait. You know what happened? When they did the volume 1, they cried. They spoke about heaven. So that you can buy volume 2. When you bought volume 2, you became judgmental against pastors. And that period, God told me, said, son, it's a strategy. I said, what is a strategy? He says, it's a strategy to do 3 things. Number 1, to make people disbelieve these great men of God who are their covering so that they can be exposed for attack. Number 2, to make people disbelieve going to church. This church is bad. Which one is good? Let me just stay at home. Thereby breaking the scripture that says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. Am I talking to somebody here? And God said, number 3, to leave the church in a state of confusion. When I came back, Linda with the anywhere she, I was confused that people could believe. Because that's a girl I laid hands on in Sierra Leone. And she looked me in the eyes and said, I will come after you. She's a marine agent. The Bishop Koroma she mentioned in the faith was the bishop who organized the crusade. We had laid hands on that, and we confronted ourselves. Linda can't say she doesn't know me face to face. Why pretending through tape? You know what happened between us. Tell the world. Suleiman, I will leave, but I will come after you. I say, I am waiting. So you now came through tape. I said, you are too cheap. And guess what? Bible says, seducing spirit. Holiness! Holiness! Heaven! And she's crying. And some of you started crying. Shame on the church. Gullible. You don't, many of you pastors, your ministry was upside down. You change message. You don't have the Holy Ghost again. When the Spirit of truth is come, it shall guide you into all truth. Let me shock you. I will shock you. And I'll say one thing now, and I will prove it. Nobody goes to hell and returns. Nobody goes to heaven and returns. Abraham said, the rich man said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to go and warn my brother. Abraham said, it is not so. There is a great gulf between we and them. No man comes here and returns back. What did they see? Did they see a vision of heaven? Yes, but they did not enter the literal heaven. They only saw, those who really saw, only saw an idea of what it looked like. They saw an idea of what hell looked. You can't go to hell and return. Whatever takes you to hell, we keep you there. When I hear people say, I saw heaven, I will laugh. I'm not critical, though. I say, okay, praise God. In their own understanding, they saw heaven. Well, how can a man saw heaven, he comes back and he's still competitive? You saw heaven, you come back, you are still competitive, exaggerating. You saw, which heaven did you see? If you will see heaven, you will not want to come back. Can we discuss this briefly? Now, with all sincerity, before this holy ground of divine presence, how many of you personally, you didn't know that you bought that tape? Raise your hand. God bless your sincerity. God bless your sincerity. But I'm telling you now that I'm happy the tape only woke you up from slumber. But all those things you heard there were fake. The same man that was carrying her about to confess and making money is the man that she married. They are in Guagualada now. Guagua. Did I pronounce it well? They call it Gilada. That's where they are now. Married after consuming your money. Wax. They say they are coming to Sapler. They must money making ministry. Man must work Bible church. Ministry must continue. Someone gave her life to Christ who was highly demonic here. Gave her life to Christ. When she gave her life to Christ, she says she wants to confess. I said, where? Attend school of the spirit class. I tell you, let's tutor you. So start from there. Start confessing from there. Just start confessing from there. Confess that. Me, I'll give you pulpit to come and confess that I was a demon. How does that glorify God? Now, those who do deliverance ministry and talk with demons, I'm not against what they do. But I cannot do it because discussing with demon is an insult to me. There was a time I said to myself, maybe some of the deliverance cases I've handled, were we not talking with demons in Zimbabwe? The lady who was screaming, he said, sure. I said, hey, we are not colleagues. Shut up! So I said, I've seen some pastor, because I heard a pastor come on TV to defend himself, that some pastors are saying, those who talk with demons, they should lay hands on them, that they are possessed. I was laughing because what he was trying to do was to protect his constituency. Yes. If people know you for something, you must try to defend, and that's immaturity. Because if you are a matured man, you know him how he replies criticism. Number one, either he's quiet, or number two, he replies with love.
when you are confrontational, it shows people have spoken against the prophetic, and I heard it and I embrace them. It's your opinion. We can disagree on doctrine and still be friends. Am I talking to somebody here? So when I said to them, I've done Jehovah the doctor service. If you are watching live, you see some demons sometimes. Oh, apostle. I said, eh? You say, wait a minute. Yeah? Do you know where you are? Quiet! Because number one, I cannot be discussing with demons. No. I can't. You can. Deliverance is real. Demons speak, but demons only speak for those who want to listen. If I can lay hands on you and say, out! And it goes out immediately. Why do I need to kill myself? Swear. All of those things, I'm not critical of them. But I'm saying to some of you pastors who have built your ministry behind that. You will know now. You are exposing yourself to demons. There will be no effect now, over time. Great man of God, Dr. Abraham Chibundu. That if you are talking of deliverance in this country. 1981. I was flying with him in the plane. I said, sir, how do you see about talking with demons? He said, for what? Me. He said, that's kindergarten level. He said, that's how we started. Where we started, do you know, talking with demons was what we are doing in campus. It's where we started Christianity. They are taking us back to the past. I remember when I started Christianity, I was not, no pastor, I would look at somebody and say, come out. He said, I won't go. We'll be discussing. Those days, it was a child's play. We are enjoying it, but I'm surprised it has not come back to the church with full force. And people are having fun. And many of us have started deliverance, we believe, if we do not discuss. How did you enter? And you expect the father of all lies to tell you the truth. This is my personal submission. Via the word of God. It's personal. I'm not going to do that. I've had hands laid on demons. Was it over that? I was playing somebody on Jehovah the Doctor, a young man from Cameroon or so. You again? Apostle, you again? I said, yes, me again. Ouch! No, some of you will not stop. Yes, me again. How did you enter? Then the demon, all of them have one name. Say, I'm the Father's altar. I know. Say, yes. How many powers? Say, seven powers. Say, manifest. Can I shock you? Check people who get delivered in that church. You will see them in another church going through the same deliverance again. You see them in another program going through the same. I can't tell you the truth. They are not serious with their life. You, pastor, don't sweat yourself and be serious with unserious people. Come out. Stand. You are free. You now stand up. Say, do you know what we are doing just now? Immediately. Say, I don't know. It's like a riaza. Everybody has riazed it. They know what to say. Look for substance. Now, if I don't experience that in my ministry, then anybody can say, oh, it's because you don't see it. I see demons talk on normal basis. Talk. If I possess now, if I lay hands on you now, you will talk. Yeah. You don't pray deliverance. He sends what his word, and his word delivered them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance. Not pray deliverance. Preach deliverance. Glory to God. One time I went to greet Reverend John. Maybe he has forgotten. And he had a visitor. The visitor was a lady. And she was had her ears tied, everything. And they sat down, they were talking. So I walked in. I think John went to buy me minerals. While he was just stepping out, he'd get... Oh, I said, hey, wait. Let the minerals come first. Let me drink. I know where you are going. If I enter this one, I won't drink this thing. Let me finish. Hey, wait there. Took my time.
drunk. I said, okay, now manifest.
We had no job, no program. We had no agenda. So let's talk. How did you enter? We're just relaxed. I see you are free to do such a thing if you have no other agenda for the service. Not for serious meetings. If you have no other agenda for the service, you just want to, okay, how did you come in? Say, I came in through the mother. Say, okay, how many of you? You have no message that day. Will the church go on like that? You must do something now. But for serious minded people, can I shock you? Check World Ministries. Pastors of the biggest first five churches in the world, they are not deliverance pastors. Now watch me. Africa needs deliverance. Every one of you here, if you are not ministering deliverance to your church, you have a problem. You must minister deliverance in your church. But don't think if a demon has not spoken, it has not left. You see, I'm correcting now. This is I'm correcting. That a demon does not have to speak to leave. Can I shock you? Actually, when a boss comes somewhere and says out, a boss you fear, you don't murmur. But when a boss says leave and you murmur, it means you don't see much respect. Why will I go? It's a challenge. But when the anointing is heavy, out! Yes, sir! Brother Allen, his Bible school students were casting out demons. Come out! The demon said, I'm not gonna go. Choir members, I'm not gonna go. So they battled. And Brother Allen just walked there. He said, all right, guys, what's going on? They said, Brother Allen, for about 5 hours, this demon has been resisting. He said, are you serious? He said, hey, Satan, look here. My name is A.A. Allen.
Ouch! Instantly, boom!
He said, my name is A.A. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. They knew him in hell. My name is A.A. Allen. Ow! And the demon took off.
I discussed with demons. Have you forgotten Kingsley? Our early days of ministry. Hey!
If you see deliverance. In fact, that's what we are known for. Deliverance. We mean sometimes in the days of Assemblies of God, we'll do deliverance. Those people who attended my programs in the Assemblies of God. In the Eastern districts. How many of you were around that period? The Eastern period district. I mean, talk of deliverance. We stay there. You must go. We tell them, you must go. He said, I won't go. He said, you will go. But I got to a dimension when I became so impatient. As what do you say? Say, I'm not good. You are not what? Ah! Okay. Cast us to social. Don't tell me where to send you to.
Ouch!
Just go anywhere. Anywhere. Or just go. I'm talking of a high understanding. If anybody is doing it, do not be critical. That is the dimension. Give that person the next 4, 5, 6 years. Those who really started it have slowed down. They have slowed down. You get tired. Then if we lean on people and they just follow another path, we don't get. But when you start turning, we'll stop.
Yes. Serpentine.
A young girl was being told to confess. She confessed a lot of things at the end. I called her, I said, come. You know you don't have all those spirits.
Yes, sir, they were forcing me to talk.
I said, you know those things are lies. All those fathers' altar, there was nothing inside you. See, sir, I went there, the lands of my friend, she fed, she talked. Lands of friend. So me too, I have to follow suit. So we have to be very careful. No, I expect somebody to defend what I'm saying now. Somebody will react to what I'm saying now. Will react.
Because that is their audience.
Everybody is protecting his constituency. I must not lose what makes. No real people, no real church will take such a thing serious.
How did you enter? Put mic. How did you enter? Where are you coming from? No man in his proper mindset. I would take such a thing serious. I'll just walk away. I said, what is this? Get the demon out. Am I communicating? Study your Bible. I know somebody said that Jesus spoke with a demon. Jesus Christ as a demon. Where? Check in your Bible. You will see Jesus Christ more times spoke with hold thy peace. The time he told the demon, hold thy peace.